On Wednesday evening, Barry and I were out collecting Christian Aid. And I was walking along St. Mary's Road, which is down here, and I've lost it now, a volunteer badge. It's a Christian Aid volunteer. And I was carrying this Christian Aid carrier bag in fetching red and also carrying the Christian Aid envelopes. And as I walked along St. Mary's Road, I became aware of something. Became very aware that the people in their cars who were lined up trying to queue onto Harborne Park Road were all watching me and clearly trying to work out what is this person doing going in and out of the houses all the way along St. Mary's Road. And what struck me was that it's quite rare that I am out and about with quite such an obvious label on me which says Christian. And as I was walking along and thinking about that, I was thinking about this verse that Jen just read for us, verse 16 of our reading today, where Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And I wondered, am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I a little bit reticent to be known as a Christian, as a church goer, as someone who follows Jesus? Do I recognize just a moment sometimes of hesitation before I tell somebody I first met, yes, actually, I'm a Christian? Now, having the job that I do, we don't go long before things become pretty clear. But it can be, for many of us, something that we struggle with. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. Why was he not ashamed? Well, it wasn't because he was in a huge church with thousands of people. It wasn't because he was successful at everything he ever did. It wasn't because Christianity was a socially accepted and popular message in his day. If we look at verse 16, he says this, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because he knew, he had experienced that the good news about Jesus is the power of God that changes people's lives and saves people from the mess that we make of our lives and opens up fullness and freedom of new life for them. And why would anyone feel ashamed of that good news? Well, it might be that we feel ashamed when we think of what people have done or said in the name of Christianity. And that's a valid point because people have said and done some really outlandish things in the name of Christianity. But I wonder whether we sometimes feel that the message of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus, doesn't have much relevance to a particular place that we're in. Maybe a workplace, maybe when we're on the bus, maybe when we're at home or out and about. It just doesn't feel like the kingdom, the gospel, has much impact here. Or maybe sometimes we feel that there's a particular time in our lives, perhaps a time of waiting or a time of worrying or a time of disappointment where it doesn't feel like the gospel matters now in this time. Or maybe there may be people that we're with and we feel for these particular people, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like the kingdom has much relevance for them. And so we wonder, does it matter to these people? And perhaps we come to church on a Sunday and we're here on a Sunday and it's quite comfortable to be a Christian here. I doubt any of you are ashamed to be here and to be calling yourselves Christians here, but in other places, in other times with other people, perhaps we feel differently. And today we're going to use these verses from Romans chapter 1 that Les and Jen read for us to think about that challenge. And what we've called this is even here, even now, even me. The kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom that has no limits. The message of the kingdom has no limits. Let's see how Paul helps us with this today in this passage. We're going to start in verse 7. We haven't got time to go through every verse of this passage, but if you have the Bible open, it's page 1128, and we're going to start in verse 7. Paul has introduced himself in the first few verses, and then he turns to his audience. In verse 7, he says this, "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And I don't know how many times you've read Romans, and I've read it, you know, a few times, and I've often skipped past those verses. There doesn't seem to be much there at first glance. But just look at verse 7, how it starts. To all in Rome. Rome. Rome is the center of the imperial powerhouse. Rome is where Caesar lives. Rome is the origin of the all-conquering Roman army. It's the place where the rulers of the age look to for authority and direction. Rome is the place where the invaders of Judea came out from. It's the place that wipes out any challenge to its authority. It's the source of all arbitration and judgment in the empire. It's where the worship of power and idols is at its most stark throughout the ancient world. It's where the commanders of the soldiers who crucified Jesus on a cross came from. And in Rome, even here, God is at work. And what is he doing in verse 7? He's loving and calling people. Loving and calling people. And the faith of the Christians in Rome has become known, says Paul, all over the known world. Even in Rome, God is at work. And when Paul saw that, he rejoiced. He says in verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. You see, God is at work even in the most unlikely of places. And surely there could have been few more unlikely places than Rome for Paul to have looked at. And I wonder, as we think about that, the challenge for us today here in Harborne and what that might be. God is at work even in the most unusual and unlikely places. Do we see that? Do we recognize where God is at work? Not only in a church or in a conference hall or in a prayer space, but also on the number 11 bus or in our homes or our workplaces or schools or when we're out and about in the shops. God is at work. His kingdom has no limits. And I was reminded of this recently. I've got a picture on the screen of down by the Bourne Brook, down by the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. It's this path. It's not a very attractive area, particularly. They come and cut the grass every now and then. But last summer, the travellers came and set their caravans up, and there was rubbish around and traffic noise from the road. It's not a wonderful place that you sort of hang around in generally. But on this path, we were walking on this path recently, and it was either Jacob or Chloe who spotted something. Can you spot it from where you are? There's a stone, and on the stone, there is some writing. Can we zoom in on the writing? The writing says this. When you only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. You recognize that?
Yeah.
From the poem, Footprints in the Sand. It's a Christian poem which speaks of God looking back on our lives and God carrying us through difficult times. Now, I have no idea what that writing is doing on that rock by the side of the path along the Bourne Brook down near the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. There's no sign, there's no description, there's no explanation at all. It's just there. And for me, as I saw that just recently, it just really hit me and struck me that God is at work, even here, in ways that we do not understand, in ways that we definitely do not control, but in ways that when we see, we can, like Paul did, rejoice. That God is at work, even here. And I don't know what that might mean for you this morning. There may be a place or a situation that you feel God seems distant and far. And as you hear Paul celebrating the fact that God is at work in Rome, even in Rome, let's be encouraged that God is at work, even in the most unlikely and unusual of places. And as we go into a home group week, maybe it's something we could share in our home groups, places where we've seen God at work, maybe unusual places. We want to encourage one another to get better at spotting when God is at work, because that rock is easily missed. You could easily walk right by and never notice. God is at work, even here, says Paul. The second thing that Paul goes on to, even now, verse 9 through to 13, he writes on, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in preaching the gospel of his son is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. Paul's prayers for the Romans are constant. They're not in a set moment when he comes to a church or a synagogue. He prays for them, he says, at all times. He understands that God wasn't limited to certain moments when he was interested in what we're doing. But you know, the phrase that has really struck me as I've thought about this week is there at the middle of verse 10, where Paul says this, I pray that now at last, by God's will, I may be able to come to you. And then in the verses following, he explains, he's tried many times to visit the church in Rome, and he has failed. It hasn't happened. He hasn't managed to get to do what he wanted to do. And he prays, now at last, I pray that I may be able to come. Do you feel, do you sense, do you hear the frustration in Paul as he writes those words? That he's tried and failed. And the disappointment and the frustration in that waiting and that failure. Now, you may know that Paul does eventually get to Rome, but not how he thought. Not by his own free will, not for many years after he wrote this letter. But he came as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. They dragged him there. They took him on a boat with soldiers. And he arrived in Rome in chains. And if you turn the page, if you've got the Bible open, just turn the page, one page back. At the end of Acts chapter 28, or middle of 28, we read about that moment when Paul arrives in Rome. And it's Acts chapter 28 and verse 15. It says, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, this is the bit, at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. And we see there the answer to Paul's prayer many years before, that he would finally one day at last get to meet the Christians in Rome. And looking back, Paul is able to say, thank God for the way that you were at work. Thank God for the way that even in that failure and frustration and waiting, you were at work, planning and setting things up. And eventually I have come to Rome and have met these brothers and sisters that he'd heard so much about. And we can see here, I think, quite clearly in Paul's story, that even in the most unlikely of times, God is at work. The challenge for us is, do we see it? I was talking to Mike, he won't mind me saying this, I hope. Last Sunday, Mike walked into church because of the bikes, the bellow, and he was just coming past St. Faith and St. Lawrence as the bells were ringing. And that was a moment where it was quite clear that God is at work and the timing just works and I'm here. And, you know, it's really encouraging when that happens, isn't it? Where we just feel, yes, this moment now, God is at work. But far more challenging are those times where we can't see, we can't tell, we can't see where God is working and things seem difficult. And perhaps we're experiencing right now, as we're sat here listening, a time in our life where we feel it's a time of waiting, it's a time of frustration, it's a time perhaps of failure in different areas. And we feel, is God absent and is God deaf to my calls? Well, a few weeks ago, I was speaking here about Green Pastures. They're a charity that work with churches to end homelessness. And they offer houses to churches to bring in homeless people to live and offer them a place to stay. And there was somebody here at the community cafe who'd come to me and said, quite directly, what are you doing about homelessness? Not what other people, what are you doing here at this church? What are you doing? And it was quite a difficult conversation, and I found I was really struggling with it. And then 2 days later, I had a phone call from Paul, who's a minister at Birmingham Central Baptist Church, saying that Green Pastures have offered them a house, and they would like to begin this house, and would we like to be involved with them? And I felt, oh, this feels like God is connecting these things together. The timing would just work perfectly. And then there's an extra point, because you'll be aware that our kitchen is being redone. And if you've been around for a little while, we've talked about this for some time. It's been months, it's been years, Brenda says years, that we've talked about this. And it's only on the first of this month that we cleared out the kitchen completely and the builders came in and began to build it. So the 3 days before that, I was in the kitchen, and if we have the picture, we were looking at this fridge. We realized that when the new kitchen comes in, we can't use this fridge. And the kitchen there has a fridge and the charge center has a fridge. And so we thought, what can we do with this fridge? We were using it the Sunday before, but now it needs to go somewhere. And so I phoned Paul and I said, look, Paul, we've got this fridge freezer. And I don't know if you've already got one, but would it be helpful for the house, for the Green Pastures house? And the next picture, almost immediately, he was here with his car. And the fridge freezer is in the car. It is now in the house. And he said to me, it was absolutely perfect timing. But the house, the kitchen was just ready to have the fridge come in to be, and it's now in and set and running, ready to go. And if we had had our kitchen finished even a month earlier, they wouldn't have been ready. And the timing, even in that waiting, that God is at work, even in those times of frustration and waiting. And that for me was a picture. Now, I know that our lives are complicated, and there'll often be times where it is not obvious how God is at work. And there may be times of celebration where we look back and we say, yes, God is at work and was at work like this, and I celebrate that. And there may be other times where it's a call to patience and a call to trust that God, who is our Father, cares for our situations and we can place our trust and our faith in Him. But the encouragement for me from Paul, from the Christians in Rome, is that God is at work, even in times and moments of frustration and waiting and delay. Finally, the last few verses 14 through to 17, Paul goes on to speak about how he is a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, the wise and the foolish, that the power of God brings salvation to everyone who believes, to Jew and to Gentile. And this is a radical message that Paul is preaching. He's preaching that God's kingdom is equally open to Greeks and non-Greeks, to wise and foolish, to Jew and Gentile, that these people are equally valuable in God's eyes and equally welcome into His kingdom, equally deserving of hearing this good news about Jesus. No matter what their ethnic background, or their academic ability, or their religious history, their nationality, or language, or class, or age, or status, all are equally welcome in the kingdom of God. Even us. And even me. Taking that very personally this morning, and we sometimes need to hear that. Even me, I am welcome and valued and loved. And as God is at work loving and calling people, He is at work amongst us loving and calling us, even me. I was going into a governor's meeting on Thursday this last week and thinking about this passage and this message, and I walked in and I was thinking, God, would you show me, God, are you at work here? Are you at work here in this school? And then I realized that's the wrong question to be asking. And so I changed it around a bit. So, okay, how are you working, God? Show me how you're working in this place. And I felt like it's a challenge for all of us this coming week to be asking, how is God working in this place? How is God working in this time of maybe waiting or frustration or difficulty? How is God working in me and in this person that I'm meeting? Perhaps especially if it's a difficult relationship. How is God working? And asking and expecting to see how God is at work in those situations around us. Because Paul reminds us, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And in verse 17, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, not because we earned it, not because we worked hard for it, but by faith. Received as a gift. And that's what we come to as we gather around the communion table this morning, as we receive from God nothing we've earned, but receiving as a gift. And as we think about these three things that are up on the screen there, even here, We come around the communion table. We think about the place that God chose to demonstrate his love and his kingdom and the forgiveness that we have. Where was it? Where did it happen? In the upper room, hidden away, a quiet place, unassuming, not the kind of place you might expect that God would unleash a new, a wonderful story into the world. But even here, God is at work. And perhaps there are places in our lives, places, physical places, that may be work, school, home, out and about in different areas and places where God is at work and we have not seen it. And so we're encouraged today to open our eyes and see where God is at work. Or how about the timing of this meal? Even now, God is at work. On the night when Jesus was arrested, a time of betrayal, a time of failure, a time of mourning. And yet here, now, in this moment, God is at work in amazing and powerful ways. And so this coming week for us to be looking out and asking God, how are you at work in this moment? Perhaps a moment of failure or waiting or frustration. And then the third thing there, even me. How about the people who were gathered around this first table, this first meal? Who were they? Fishermen, tax collectors, women of dubious reputation, people who were put to one side by the society around them. And yet these are the people that God chose to build his kingdom. God is at work, even in me, even in you. And maybe that's a challenge for us as we think about the people who make up our lives, to look around and think, well, what is this person teaching me? How is God using this person to speak to me this week? We're going to prepare ourselves for communion. We're going to sing in a moment, invite our musicians to come. Here is bread, here is wine. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the encouragement of hearing these words of Paul and the way that Paul spotted and saw that you were at work, even in Rome, a place that some may have chosen not to venture to, that some may have ignored or denied that you could possibly be at work there. Thank you for the way that Paul saw and celebrated your work. And Father, for the timing of Paul's trip to Rome, the way that you were at work, even in that time of frustration and delay and waiting. Lord, would you help us to see you at work, even in those kinds of times in our lives. And give us the courage to say, yes, God is at work in me and in those around me. And help us to see that and celebrate that as we gather for this communion meal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.